Our first reading this morning will come from the book of Exodus. We'll be reading from the 16th chapter of Exodus, beginning at verse 2 and reading through verse 15. So let us at this time listen to God's word for us. And the whole congregation departed of the people of Israel, and the whole congregation of the people of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, and said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may prove them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your murmurings against the Lord. For what are we that you murmur against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your murmurings, which you murmur against him, what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord." And Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your murmurings." And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the murmurings of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning dew lay round about the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine, flake-like thing, fine as hoarfrost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat." This is the word of the Lord. Our New Testament gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew. We'll be reading from chapter 20 of Matthew's Gospel, verses 1 through 16, and it begins on page 854 of your Pew Bibles. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, 'You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you.' So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' And he said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.' And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first.' And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the householder, saying, 'The last These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is the word of the Lord. When I was a teenager growing up in Missouri, there was an organization called the Teen Employment Agency. People would call into the agency seeking teenage labor for various jobs, maybe a lawn that needed cutting, or an attic or basement that needed cleaning out, maybe a room that needed to be painted. So in the summer, when we teens would go to the agency, we would go there hoping to land a job for the day in order to make a few bucks. The problem was that on any given day, there was always more teens than there were jobs. The agency opened up at around 8 o'clock in the morning, and the jobs were distributed on a first-come, first-served basis. I remember the first day when me and my friends came into the agency. We came strolling in at about 8 o'clock, only to find that the place was already crowded with teens. I still remember that I was number 27 on the list. There was no chance of getting a job that day, at least for me. So the next day, me and my friends, we had decided that we would get there early. We would plan to get to the agency around 7 o'clock in the morning so that we might be the first ones in line. And so we put our plan into action. But when we got there, we discovered that some kids from Westport had beat us there. They were sleeping on top of the roof. And so we were not first that day either. We're not able to get a job on that day. Then we concocted another plan. We decided that we would get up real early. We would leave the house at 5 o'clock in the morning. And so that's what we did. We arranged for each person in our little group to come to the window or the door where we were staying, and then we would all go and get to the agency at around 5:20, 5:30. And on that particular day, we had no problems being first. We were first in line, and for the rest of the summer, from then on, we were always first because we were able to be the earliest ones at the agency. It's good, of course, to be first. We all know the old adage that the early bird gets the worm. Many of us have learned to position ourselves so that we can be first, or if not first, at least be as close to first, as close at the first of the line as we could possibly be. We are constantly scanning people, observing people, trying to figure out how worthy they are, how deserving they are, whether or not they are people who have the potential to be first. Here in this country, we all know what it means to strive to be first. But Jesus tells a parable this morning that is a bit shocking and disturbing to all of us early birds. He tells a parable that calls into question what it means to be first. The Lord's parables were often disturbing and shocking. Indeed, the Lord's teaching was often disturbing and shocking. And if we read the Lord's parables without being shocked, a little bit shocked and a little bit disturbed by them, then we are either not paying attention to them or we have so domesticated them that they are no longer allowed to challenge us in any meaningful way. Someone once said that the Lord's parables are like a Trojan horse. You innocently invite them in, and then, bam, they get you. And so it is with this parable that Jesus tells, the parable about a landowner that goes in search of labor. He goes to the market looking for laborers, hoping to find people in order to work in his vineyard. And so he goes there at around 9 o'clock in the morning, and he sees people who are there waiting to work. And so he brings them into his vineyard. He goes out again around noontime, again looking for people. He finds them there at noontime, people there in the marketplace needing work. And so he hires them too, and he brings them into the vineyard. And again, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he goes and he hires more people, those who are standing idle. And finally, at 5 o'clock in the evening, with about an hour left in the workday, he goes back out into the marketplace and he gathers those who are there idle, and he brings them too into the vineyard. And I like what the landowner does when he hires these folks. With the first group, he negotiates with them as to a just price. He promises to give them a denarius, which was a day's wage. A denarius was what was needed daily in order to take care of your family. And so that's what he negotiates with the first group of workers. But the subsequent hires, he simply tells them that he will give them what is right. He will give them what is fair, what is just. And we all agree with that. We're all into fairness. We're all into justice. We believe that you ought to get what you deserve. And that's what he tells them. He will give them what they deserve. He will give them what is right. So far, so good. We have innocently invited this parable in. But now comes the bam part. Now comes the part where the parable gets us, at least some of us. The day has ended and the pay envelopes are given out. And to everyone's surprise, the landowner pays everyone exactly the same wage. He pays everyone a denarius. If you're one of the workers who started at 5 in the evening, you're obviously ecstatic. You're jumping up and down with joy. You recognize your good fortune. It's like that manna that we read that comes raining down, that quail. It's a free gift, and they are ecstatic, jumping up and down, no doubt, in celebration of their good fortune. And if you're the person who came in at noontime, you're also jumping up and down. You're probably not as ecstatic as the people who came in at 5 o'clock, but you are still happy. You're jumping up and down with joy. You came in, you put in a half a day's work, but you've got a full day's pay, and you're excited too. But if you are the person who got up early in the morning at 5 o'clock, if you're the person who left the house when it was still dark in order to be at the work site at 9 o'clock when the boss came through, then you're jumping up and down too, but you're not jumping with joy. Perhaps you're jumping with anger and resentment. Anger and resentment at this landowner. Not because he has treated you unfairly, he hasn't. He gave you a denarius. He gave you what you had negotiated with. But it's not the fact that he has treated anyone unfairly. What they are angry about is that he has been generous. He has given those who are thought undeserving what they need. What they need in order to take care of themselves and their families for the day. And that's what the workers who started early in the day, that's what they tell the landowner. You have made these people equal to us. These people who came late, these latecomers, you have made them equal to us, to all of us, to those of us who started early in the day, to those of us who've been working hard all day, laboring in the sun. You have made them equal to us. I've often heard that expressed in many ways. It's typical human nature that whenever someone is given what they need, we often see it as in some ways being taken from us, even when we have what we need. We're often angry at people who come late, angry about the newcomers, the latecomers, the people who are able to avail themselves of what they need. And so I can understand very well the anger of these early birds. I would have been quite angry too if after I got back from the teen employed, a hard day of working, to discover that some teen who came there at the 4 o'clock was able to make the same that I made. I often wish that the parable would tell us a little bit more about the workers. I wish they would tell us a little bit more about why the workers who were able to get there first were able to get there first. Maybe they were simply more motivated, or maybe they had some advantage that other people didn't have. I remember the advantage I had being able to get to the teen employed. You see, we only lived about a mile and a half away from the agency, so it was no problem for me to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and be able to make it over there in about 20 minutes. But the kids who came from Westport had to come all the way across town, so they would never be able to beat us there if we decided that we were going to be first. The parable does tell us a little bit about why some of the people are there in the market at noontime and at 3 o'clock and at 5 o'clock standing idle. We are told it's because no one would hire them. And it raises questions as to why no one would hire them. Maybe they were too old, or maybe they were too young, or maybe they came from the wrong section of the city, or maybe they had some kind of handicap, or maybe they didn't have the right skill set or the right education, or maybe they didn't have the right documents, the right papers, or maybe they were the wrong color or what have you. Whatever, no one would hire them. But the landowner doesn't care about any of that. He comes into the marketplace and he sees them idle and he invites them into the vineyard. And that's what intrigues me about this parable. Not so much the workers. The workers are kind of predictable. Their reaction is predictable. What intrigues me about this parable are the actions of the landowner. Because this guy simply doesn't get it. He has absolutely no clue. He would never be able to make it in our world, the real world, our world of merit, our world of being first, our world where we measure things by how deserving and how worthy people are. First of all, this man has absolutely no head for business. I can tell him exactly what will happen the next day when he goes to the marketplace. If he goes there at 9 o'clock, there's not going to be anyone there. If he goes there at noontime, there's not going to be anyone there. If he goes there at 3 o'clock, he may find two or three people that have nothing better to do. But everybody's going to be waiting for him at 5 o'clock because they know that this is the guy who pays a day's wage for only an hour's worth of work. This is a guy who is crazy enough to be generous with what he has. Guy simply doesn't get it. Secondly, this guy doesn't seem to be motivated by the right motivations. I used to think that he kept going back to the marketplace because he miscalculated. He had a whole lot of work to do. You know, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And he kept needing to go back to the marketplace again and again to find more workers in order to bring the harvest in. But the text doesn't say any of that. He seems to be motivated only by the desire to make sure that people are working. He seems to be motivated only by the desire to know that people will be able to get what they need. What kind of crazy, nonsensical thinking is that? Wanting people to have what they need, wanting to make sure that people have what they need. That's not the way we do it in our world. We don't want people to have what they need. We're constantly trying to figure out a way to take from them what they have, what they need. But not this landowner. He is concerned that people have what they need. And so he keeps going back again and again and again, looking for people so that he can give them what they need. Kind of reminds me of that parable that Jesus tells in Luke's gospel, where Jesus tells his disciples to go into the alleyways and the byways, go into all of those deserted, forgotten places to grab people and bring them into the feast so that everyone will be able to partake of the feast. But this man would never be able to make it in our world. He simply doesn't get it. That's not the way we operate. And lastly, this man knows absolutely nothing about how to keep workers happy, at least the first come workers. If I were him and I were to be so inclined to be as generous as he was, I would have paid the first workers first. You know, I would have paid them, gave them their denarius, paid them, and then made sure they went home and congratulated them for a hard day's work, thanked them for a hard day's work. But I would have paid them first and got them out of the way. And then when they were gone, I would have paid the other workers, the one-hour workers, I would have paid them their denarius so that no one could see. That's the way I would have done it, kept everybody happy. But that's not the way he did it. Instead, he paid the one-hour workers first. And he did it so that everybody could see. He wanted everybody to see how generous he was. He didn't care about what people thought. He wanted everybody to see that he was a generous boss, a generous landowner. And that's why Jesus is telling this parable. Because Jesus wants everybody to see the nature and the character of God. He wants everybody to see what kind of God that God is. He wants all of us to begin to rethink our understanding of God. You see, often we make God in our own image. We have this picture of God sitting up there waiting to get us. This picture of God who loves us if we achieve, who loves us if we are first, who loves us if we get up early enough to merit God's love. That's the picture of God that we have. A God who loves us if we do everything right. A God who loves us if we are the fastest. A God who loves us if we are the most educated. A God who loves us if we've got our act together. That's the kind of picture of God that we have. But Jesus wants us to understand that God is a loving God, a generous God. That God is a God who loves us because he loves us. God is a God whose overriding desire is that all of us have what we need to thrive, what we need in order to make it. He wants to make sure that we all have what it is we need. God is a gracious and generous God. God is not a stingy God. That's the picture that we paint. That's the way we are sometimes, stingy. We're afraid that somebody might get something. that we don't have, or somebody might get something that belongs to us. You know, we can't give people what they need, whatever it may be. Can't give people enough education. You know what people will do if they get something free, unmerited. You know what people will do if maybe we provide them some health care. You know what people will do. That's not the kind of world that promotes the lifestyle that we have come to take for granted. We believe that people ought to be deserving. But that's not the way God thinks. God is only interested in giving us what we need, because God is a gracious, generous, loving God. The question to entertain is that not whether God could make it in our world. The question we ought to entertain this morning is, can we make it in God's world? Can all of us 9 o'clock people, all of us people who've been conditioned by getting up early, are we going to be able to make it in the kingdom of God? Because that's what this parable is about. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about the way things will be in the coming kingdom when God has God's way. It's about God's coming kingdom, God's coming world, God's coming economy. Will we be able to make it in God's world, in God's kingdom? Will we want to be a part of God's kingdom? This parable is a part of a larger section in Matthew's gospel that begins with Jesus confronting a very rich man, and the rich man wanting to know what he can do in order to receive the kingdom of God. And Jesus says, you know, if you kept all the commandments, and he says, yes, if you loved your neighbors, yes, 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 I've done all of that. And then Jesus says, now go take what you have and distribute it to the poor. And the man says, you know, I can't do that. Can't do that. And Jesus' disciples want to know, what can we do? We've given up everything to follow you. And Jesus says, yes, you've given up everything. But here's the deal. It's not about what you do so much. It's about who I am. It's about who God is. And God is a merciful, loving, gracious God. And that's what Jesus wants all of us to understand. That God is a gracious, loving, merciful God. We all know the definition of grace. Grace is love that is unmerited, love that is unearned, love that is unconditional. It's not about what we do. It's not about us scoring the highest on the test. Not about us acquiring the right credentials. It's not about us able to walk the straight and narrow. It's all about a God who loves us so much that he's willing to keep coming to the marketplace again and again and again, calling you, calling me, calling everyone, so that we might have what we need. Jesus is inviting all of us in, all of us into the coming kingdom of God. And the thing for all of us to ponder this morning is, what if we are not the workers that show up early in the morning? What if all of us are the one-hour workers? The workers who come into the vineyard at 5 o'clock in the evening. What if we understood ourselves to be those workers? How would it change our outlook? How would it change our lives? How would it change the way we treat other people and view other people? How would it change the way we see the world? Would we still be cold-hearted and mean-spirited to others, to the latecomers? Or would we be willing to open up our hearts, realizing that freely we have received, so freely we can give? We recognize that we are the recipients of God's grace, that God has given us everything that we need. Could we begin to open up our own hearts, open up our own fist, the fist that we keep clutched quite tightly because we're afraid that somebody's going to get something? Would we be willing to unclap our fist and extend ourselves to others? How would it change our outlook? Because the fact is, you and I are those late workers. We are the people who've been called into the vineyard at the late hour. We're the people who God has bought into the vineyard, the people that God has loved more than we could even know. And Jesus says that this is the way that God is. This is the way that God has treated everyone. And so he wants us, too, to go out into the marketplaces, go out into the squares, go out where people are in need and welcome them into the kingdom. Tell them to come into the kingdom, because God is a gracious God, a generous God, a loving God, a God who has already given all of us all that we need. And that's all that we need to know. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, you are truly generous in all that you do. It is your great love for the world that sustains the world. It is not because we are the fastest, or the biggest, or the smartest, are the best behaved, are the most motivated. It is because you love us that we are able to be before you this day. Help us to receive that love deep down inside of our hearts, and as your people, to give that love back to a world who desperately needs to know it. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.